Well, we're back. George Holford, Local Matters, here with a good friend that I have not seen for a while, Glenn Jones.
Hi, George.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty
good.
You've
done this job, and I've done your job, so we might switch up here a minute. But the thing I love about Local Matters, this segment, is that this is a talk show, and my job is to listen, and that's the hardest part, Glenn. But we're going to learn more about you, your history, your family, your passions. I know some of the things, and it's just going to be a good, just a good talk. And I can't wait to listen. So, believe it or not, we're going to start with age, birth. It's like the old Billy Graham: "Who are you? Where'd you come from? Where are you going?" So, let's go back to the historical moment of your birth and tell us about you and growing up wherever you grew up. I think it was here, but we'll find out.
Well, my mom and dad are from, my mom's from Clay County.
Sure.
And actually, I still own the farm that she was born on and her mother was born on in 1895, and it went way before then. But my mom went to Detroit like a lot of Tennesseans did back then.
Detroit City,
Detroit City, and to get work, because there wasn't no work
around here.
My dad, same story. He was born in Smithville, DeKalb County, and he left when he was 16 years old and went to Detroit, and he was born in 1916, so quite a ways back.
Wow.
So in 32, he went to Detroit because his mother didn't have anyone to take care of her. She was a single mother, and he went to Detroit to work and send the money back so she'd have somewhere to live.
Oh, sure.
So that's how people did years ago. Well, my mom and dad met somewhere in Detroit. I always say they met at a bar, and
well, that's okay.
You know, I don't know if they did
bar
or not.
Church. I don't know. It's okay.
They met somewhere, and me and my brother and my sister were born in Detroit. I lived there till I was 15 years old. And Detroit is very historical. If you actually live in the city limits of Detroit. It used to be the richest city in the world.
It was
for
a world
years.
City, yes.
And it has a lot of architect, and even the streetlights are ornamental and really cool looking. So I noticed history when I was really young.
That's
and I
how
was
you
like
got
history.
Hooked.
Right, and our school was over 100 years old. It was three-story elementary school, and it was like a big high school here, but it was a gigantic elementary school there. And so I always liked history, and my dad and my mom, they bought new farms in like 1962 in Double Springs, right next to the cemetery, and the other one was in Baxter, right there in town. We had 17 acres there. And so when my dad retired, when he was, I'm going to say it was 1974, he took me and my brother and moved us down here to Baxter. So I went to high school at Upperman.
Okay.
And Upperman was a cool place, too, back then.
Still
it,
is.
It was the old Baxter Seminary.
That's right.
And it turned into a public, Putnam County Public School, high school in 1959. So the old buildings were still there, several of them. And I went to high school in the old Pfeiffer Hall, which was big column building. Kind of looked like Tennessee Tech. There were two gigantic buildings still there that similar to Tennessee Tech's campus. So it was historic and
commitment
nice.
To education. Historically,
right.
Baxter has been at the forefront of this type stuff. Yeah.
Right. If you go there now, the high school that the county's built down there is really nice. They got a great middle school new, but the old Baxter Seminary campus was really a beautiful place.
Yes.
Well, all the buildings are gone now. The only thing left is the president's house. And I think that's kind of amazing. But so we lived just down the road. My dad had a bunch of fruit trees that we had planted over the years, even before we moved there, and they were bearing fruit. So in 1974, my dad decided we're going to enter these peaches and apples into the Putnam County Fair. So that'll take me back to when I was like 15, 16 years old. So we entered things at the Putnam County Fair, and that's how, and I'd already been.
That's how you really.
Right. Knew about, when you enter things at the fair, you actually know more about what goes behind the scenes at the fair. But I had been going all my life because during the summer, school didn't start till after the fair was here in Cookeville. So we were always here, and we went to the fair as when I was just a kid.
Yeah, sure.
Really young. So I remember the fair big time. And what I really remember about the fair the most is the big grandstands.
Oh, yeah.
And when you're like, I'm going to say, 8 years old.
They're pretty big.
And your parents let you run up and down those steps and go all the way to the top and look over the back. It was kind of scary.
Oh, sure.
And so it's kind of, I just liked the fair, and I've always liked it, and the rides were great when the fair was going on. But so I'm back in Baxter, and then I decided I would go to Tennessee Tech, like most people do, and it's a great school.
Oh, yeah.
And I got a job at Gold Medal Furniture while I was attending Tech full-time.
Okay.
I actually worked full-time at Gold Medal Furniture. And it was located in Baxter. It was a brand new plant. Mm-hmm. They made director chairs.
Mm-hmm.
So I was there. I walked in and I asked, would they do a part-time job in a factory? I didn't know they ever would, but I thought, might as well ask.
And they said, yes.
And the plant manager said, I don't know. And it was a two-story office, and you could look out. That building is still there.
Yes, yes.
It's right there by the railroad track and Highway 56.
Yeah. Yep.
They've added on to it. Fixture World's in there now.
Mm-hmm.
But Gold Medal built the building, and it had a two-story office with windows. So the plant manager was sitting there in his desk, and I could see the floor. And he said, what can you do? We really don't know that we need anyone to be a part-time worker. I said, well, first of all, I could clean that mess up that's back there in the corner. And he said, okay, you're hired. So
see,
come Saturday and do what you can do. So that's kind of how I got into inventory. The archives job.
Yeah, we didn't give you a proper introduction. You are the county's historian, the archivist, the veterans. I mean, and not just veterans, but you are the historian for this county, a historian. There's other people, but right. you're known as that.
My title is the archivist, but I really get into the history.
Yes.
I really like, I'm not a genealogist, but I can tell you who's connected to who, kind of. Yeah. And I like the cemeteries and all that, but the history of the county has really not been done well in Putnam County. There's more history here and surprising, neat things that no one's even aware of. We just found something 3 weeks ago. I'm going to say maybe four. We actually found where the first Blackburn stand in Putnam County, the first road that came into Tennessee from North Carolina, because we were still North Carolina.
That's right.
Road was built. And it's not the Walton Road. It's a road before that. They're kind of confused on the name of the road. Some people call it the Avery Trace. The state does.
Yeah,
now they're kind of denying that that's probably not what the name of it was. But we know that it was called the North Carolina Military Trace. So we just discovered this. And people in the 1920s, the 30s, they were trying to find the location of this stand, and this stand was an important thing. It was a fortress. It was a fort. And if you left Knoxville and you'd get to Crab Orchard, the next white person, this is Indian territory where we're at right
now. Yeah,
you're
right in the middle of.
The next white guy you'd run into, or European, whatever you want to call him, would be at Fort Blackburn. And it was down there by the East Fork of the Blackburn Fork. And this is early.
You're telling me stuff.
This is early 1788.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And if you all watched Daniel Boone when you were growing up.
Yeah.
Daniel Boone, remember, he was in a fort in Boonesboro or whatever they wanted to call it on the TV show. But when they went hunting, they were hunting in Clay County, Jackson County, Putnam County, what it is now, and Overton County. And Daniel Boone even named the Roaring River the Roaring River.
Wow.
He named a lot of things in this area. He named the Seven Sisters Bluff at Butler's Landing.
Mm-hmm.
So this was the great frontier where the Indians
were. Oh, yeah,
were.
This is west.
And I mean, a lot of people don't realize that, but that's kind of amazing. And so that's what I kind of been doing a lot of research, trying to discover these things that no one else has discovered, because
you got to write a book. I hope you may already have, but
I do.
I mean, you got a lot of information.
I do newspaper articles, and
it's great.
Lindsay's been really nice to me to let me put in those, and the unincorporated signs that you see in Jackson, Putnam, White, and I put those up. I really like doing that.
Well,
and
God bless you.
I've been putting
them
up.
That's great. That's what makes a community. You know, it's not just the corporate city limits of these towns. It's communities.
And the Putnam County Commission allows me to do it, and I really appreciate Randy Porter, everybody that lets me do this stuff, because it's neat to drive around. But I really research these areas. I don't just put a sign
up.
I mean, we really have to know where these spots are.
This is why this show is so great, because everything you're telling stories that most people don't even know, much less anything else. Let me ask you a quick question about Monterey and Standing Stone.
Right.
I've always heard, we've been here 24 years, and I've always heard that those were hunting grounds. Is
correct.
That right? From tribes.
Right. And that Standing Stone was a monolith, they call it, stone that was standing, you know, stuck in the ground, and what tore it up in 1890, mm-hmm. or just maybe the year after, is when the railroad
came to and bulldozed it.
Yep, and it just happened to be right in the spot of where the railroad had to go, because you know, it's very difficult to get a railroad going up a hill like that.
But the Cherokee, my wife is, most of us have Indian blood. I'm Chickasaw from Mississippi, but my wife is Cherokee Indian blood from West Tennessee. Oh yeah, and our that's a whole nother.
My great grandmother was a Cherokee Indian also,
and they were very smart. They were smarter and more educated than the general population of the country. Mm-hmm. They didn't live in tents. They were bankers and lawyers, and I mean, that's another story for another.
A lot of people don't realize all that.
What we did. To the gold in Dahlonega, and next thing you know, President Jackson is shipping the people west.
Right,
man. See, you've already got me going here, and I was going to listen here, Glenn. George Hoffer with Glenn Jones and Buddy. We're just getting started. We'll be back very, very soon. Thank you. I'm going to say it again, George Hofford with Glenn Jones. I knew when this program started that our audience and myself was going to have a treat. And I've already had my treat, but we're going to get more, Glenn. Let's just pick up where you were. Anything you want to talk about, the history, the present, you talked about the fair. A lot of people don't realize how special a fair is in a community over 50 years, 100, whatever. And you've been a part of that,
right.
And still are. I mean, you're, and being an archivist. How you say that big word?
Archivist.
Okay, I've learned. But let's just pick up. I'm gonna try to listen, but I'm mesmerized by what I'm hearing.
Well, it's kind of funny about the fair. It goes with the archives. The reason I'm there and what happened when I got appointed as the archivist. Actually, what happened? I'm gonna have to go back a few years. This is kind of a crazy story, but I went to the dentist in Gainesboro.
Yeah.
I lived at Double Springs, but I always went to Dicus in Gainesboro.
Sure.
And I knew the receptionist. I went to school with her. A lot of people, Gainesboro and Baxter, are connected, their families.
Sure, so right
back
down the road,
they're back and forth. So I went to the dentist probably at 8 o'clock that morning, and she said, "Hey, Glenn," I was in the reception, "you need to leave for a couple hours. He's kind of drunk." I know that sounds terrible to say.
No, that's life.
And he'll be all right in a couple hours. So I didn't want to drive back, so I went across the street there to the courthouse in Gainesboro. And I had been there before. The records were in the basement, and they had been there since the very beginning. The courthouse had burned in 1872, 1925, but the records were still there.
They were there.
They were underneath all the soot and all the coal dust and just mortar, where they remortared up the building. They built the buildings right back on top of the same exact spot. So the basement was exactly the same basement made out of rock. So all those records had been there from 1813.
Oh, my gosh.
And so the day that I went to the dentist appointment, it was kind of postponed. That's a good way to say it.
That's a better way to say it, maybe. Politically correct.
I went across there, and I went downstairs in the basement, and they didn't say nothing to me. And I just thought it was actually bad to be able to go into a basement where those records are and no one watching you. They had the land grants. If everyone knows what a land grant is, if you were in North Carolina, this used to be North Carolina territory.
It did.
So in the Revolutionary War, when you came home, if you were in the North Carolina area, they didn't have money to pay you for your service, so they gave you 640 acres, which is a mile square land grant.
Yeah.
Okay, those land grants were in the Jackson County Courthouse basement, stacked from the floor to the ceiling. They were folded into quarters, where you fold it in half and then you fold it again because it was a big sheet of paper, you know, a large sheet of paper. And they were stacked from the floor to the ceiling, and I saw the inmates grabbing them because I already recognized I'd been there before, just throwing them in these boxes, taking them outside and just dumping them in the dump truck.
No.
I couldn't believe it.
No.
So I said I was a nobody. Remember, I didn't live down there.
You're not from here, are
I'm
you,
not
huh?
from here. Especially one of them Yankees, you know.
Damn Yankees.
Yeah, that's the ones that stay.
That's it. That's it.
So I went upstairs, and they went, who is this guy? And it happened to be on a Monday, because Historical Society in Jackson County, that meeting was that night.
Ooh.
And I had been to it several times. So I went there, and I told them what was going on. I said, man, they're throwing the records away, but I stopped them. So we made a committee. Catherine Anderson, she's actually 100 years old right now. She was the vice president. She's still alive, doing good. I talked to her about a week ago. And we made a committee, and about 12 of us went to the courthouse the next morning, Tuesday. And I got into the lower part of the basement. There's two basements in that courthouse. And I grabbed everything that I thought was good and handed it to the next person. And the reason I could do that from working at Gold Medal, where I could sort all the stuff and you can figure out how to organize.
That's providential.
So it kind of goes together. So we filled up one vault, filled up another vault, and filled up another vault. And then nobody wanted to spend any money, so I had to go across the street and buy a lock and chain to lock it up so they couldn't steal it. So we went to – it's just a long story, but however, I became the archivist.
Yeah.
And no pay.
Yeah.
And I made sure it was done. And in the meantime, I'm still building my house down there to be a wedding venue eventually. And I would talk with Kim Blaylock. She was the county mayor at the time in Putnam. And I would show her how to do it in Putnam. They didn't have an archives either. And after doing it there about 6 years before here, and I got hired April Fool's Day, which was just, what, three days ago?
Yeah.
2008 in Putnam County.
Okay.
So I know this sounds rambling on, but it's kind of amazing.
No,
that's how I got there. So in Putnam County, it was the same county as Jackson County. A lot of people don't realize this.
Yes.
So we were all Smith County until 1801 when they cut Jackson County off Smith County. So in 1801, we're Jackson County, right where we're at. Jackson mm-hmm. County went from the Kentucky line to the Georgia line, all the way to Morgan County, all the way to Smith County. So it was a huge county. And they didn't cut White or Overton off until 1806.
Okay.
So everywhere we're in Cookeville, Baxter, Buffalo Valley, you were Jackson County for 54 years before you became Putnam County.
Think about that.
So all the people who lived here in this spot, if your ancestors have a farm that go back before 1854, you were a Jackson County person. So that's kind of amazing. So Jackson County's history has to be protected and saved in research to do Putnam County's history properly.
Oh.
And vice versa with Smith County. Smith County has records because this was all Smith County.
Well, you mentioned earlier the Roaring River, the two rivers that come right in there. And then, I mean,
we've got that's the Cumberland River.
Cumberland River and the Roaring River and Civil War Fort.
Right.
I mean, there's a history of that county that goes all the way back Revolutionary War.
Right, and a lot of people don't even realize this. You can go to the Cumberland River now. It's Cordell Hull Lake, but it's still not a really big place. They used to have Union gunboats coming from Nashville. They would go all the way down up the Cumberland River, all the way to Olympus that's over in the Obi River, and get coal to take back to Nashville during the Civil War.
Wow.
And the gunboats would be shooting at the towns next to it, and Jackson County was notorious for snipers and people shooting at the gunboats. So they decided that they're going to do away with the town. So in Jackson County, right where the Cumberland River, where the Roaring River goes into the Cumberland, that's the old town of Columbus. And in 1864, the Union Army came and destroyed the town, burned it to the ground, took all the animals out, and so there's a lot of history in this area that people aren't even aware of.
Yeah. I'm learning so much. I'm trying to write it all down, but you're going to have to give it. We've got a little over a minute to go. Let's just talk about any more things in that area, and then we'll go to the future today and what you're going to doing tomorrow. But what have we learned? Are we learning from history? Are we obviously we're doing a much better job of preserving it than we did. But right. Are you seeing a transformation in that? More people are interested in history.
I think a lot of people. The internet helps on it, you know, but mm-hmm. the internet genealogy, people searching up their family histories, they only get what somebody put in there. And doesn't always mean
that's a great point.
That doesn't always mean it's accurate what somebody wrote. The county records should have been preserved better than they have been. That is, we're doing a better job. Jackson and Putnam are definitely doing a better job than had been done in the past. A lot of things had been thrown away.
Man, we're just hitting the tip of the iceberg here, Glenn. We're going to come back in just a few seconds and go deeper and go in the future and look in the crystal ball and talk about what's happening maybe tomorrow. George Alford, Glenn Jones, back soon. Well, we've delivered on a promise here, Glenn. George Alford, Glenn Jones, our county historian, archivist. I've learned a new word. And there's some other things you're going to be doing in the future, too, not only for this county and communities, but this region. So and we're just really excited. I have learned so much. I just can't – this little pea brain can't digest it. Let's pick up where we left off and talk about where we're going and what you're learning and – history, just anything you want to talk about in the future.
Well, one thing I'm real interested in, I'm actually the president of the Baxter Historical Society.
Great.
I've been several years. I've been involved in that probably 25 years. We used to meet at a bank, and then we actually built a depot down in Baxter. And
isn't that great?
It's a beautiful building. I'm so proud of it and all the people that we worked so hard to get where we've got. And it's paid for, and we've got some other things. Something we did pretty interesting lately, we bought the first fire truck that Baxter had.
No.
So we've worked on it, so it'll run. We're going to try to paint it. But our next thing is to build a fire hall to put it in. We want it right there in the middle
oh,
of
man,
Baxter.
Sure.
So we're doing things like that. And so Baxter's really – and I'm really proud of Baxter. It's doing really well.
It is. It is growing in a positive way, a lot of energy, a lot of positive.
And the city council and the mayors, I like them. We get along with them real well. They all work with us really well. It's a really good thing.
Yeah. Well, the flattest land, quote unquote,
that's true,
is heading toward Nashville. So more and more, you're going to see young families and families living in the western end of our county and commuting to. Not only working here, I mean the county, but where, you know, they'll commute to Murfreesboro, Nashville.
That's true.
And it's less than an hour away from over there. So it's a great opportunity. And Baxter is so important in our history.
I think so, too.
We hadn't even talked about the rail trail, which is a
– Right.
But that is huge. And the railroad here, the history, and where there's an effort underway to expand the rail trail.
I think that'd be a great thing.
Wouldn't that be great to extend all towns?
Mm-hmm.
And how many counties do you know of that has a railroad station in each town?
Right, and we have three.
Yeah.
The city of Allgood contacted me, and I'm hoping that they will try to redo and rebuild a depot at the Allgood.
And it can be do what Baxter's done. It's a community center. It's used for history center. It's used for a lot of purposes.
We have a museum in it, but it's got a real good conference room, so it's used a lot.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. Let's look in the crystal ball. Future, you're not long in the tooth, but you're getting there. In the future, what are you seeing for our county, our region, the state in preservation, historical development? We've talked about Allgood and. Railroad
right.
station. Just talk about some pet projects or things that you really have an interest in.
Well, one thing that I think is really great, a few years ago, 2012, They were thinking of getting rid of the fairgrounds, selling it.
Yes.
And, I mean, it was right close. People don't even realize how close it was to be no fair no more. And they made a committee, the county commission appointed a committee. It was a large amount of people to go around and research and decide what in the world could be done. What would their recommendations to the county commission be? And for some reason, they found me. And I
so
never
you played a big. Yeah, when I saw, I knew you for years.
Right.
Probably the last time we were really active was in that era.
Right.
You were the go-to guy to save the to help utilize the fairgrounds.
Yeah, I don't want to say it like that,
no,
but
yeah, yeah.
But they that there was some real problems. There was a lawsuit, vandalism. Yeah. It was just unbelievable. So they had to come up with a different strategy to convince the county commission to save the fair, and it was true to their heart to do this. So they picked me, and I had to meet with them. And then it was just, in the, you know, like they say, the rest is history. I became the manager. So my first thing to do was to get a, clean the place up, kind of not just how it looks, but the reputation. And we removed a lot of people that were not the fair board. The fair board people were great.
Yeah.
It was other people. And we've had events. I don't ever remember so many events that would happen through the year at the fairgrounds.
Well, the hog rally.
We had so many things.
We had big-time events of all kinds.
Even Charlie Daniels sung at the Big Barn.
Think about that.
At the Big Barn.
Yeah.
The Montgomery Gentry.
Yeah.
I hate to see the Big Barn tore down. I wish it could go to the new property. And the new property is the future, which is a great – I had an idea to do that, and now they've picked – Shan Stout to be the manager of the new fairgrounds. So I'm still the manager of the old one, and it's still continuing on, and it's just a great thing. I think it's very smart to buy more land for the future because the fairgrounds we have right now, and this will be the sixth place it's moved to.
No.
So it's not been in that same spot all that. It was where it is on Jefferson. It got there in 1957. It used to be at the corner of 4th and Dixie on the Wilson farm back in 1854, 56 in that time. Then this is really, I think, amazing. We need to Tennessee Tech, the quad, if everybody's ever been there, the center grass in front of Derryberry Hall that goes around, you know, that center area that's a rectangle, that used to be the Putnam County Fairgrounds. And it was owned by the Putnam County Fair Association. They had to buy it from, they bought it from these two guys. I can't remember exactly who their names were right now. But it never shows that Dixie College ever bought it from the Fair Association.
No.
We can't find no deed. So maybe the Fair still owns Tennessee Tech Quad. Who knows? But that's kind of funny.
I know there will be, but to commemorate, there has to be some edifice or something to celebrate that fairgrounds
right.
for years. And I really began to appreciate. The people, the love of the fair, people
right,
built,
they love it.
They built those facilities.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people volunteered. There's a lot of emotion in our fairgrounds.
And there's something really historical
there
about
is.
It, too. The grandstands, if y'all ever been there, they're 300 feet long. What does that mean? They were actually built in 1957 for Tennessee Tech's football stadium.
Wow.
And Cookeville Cavaliers. And then
that would have been great.
And they
I
were,
say great. That's my first.
They were planning on putting a roof over the whole thing.
A dome stadium.
And it would have been the first covered football stadium in the state of Tennessee. But somebody in Nashville decided, hey, let's send Tennessee Tech some more money. And they went ahead and built their own stadium, which was a good thing.
Good thing, but still, that's a new one.
But that's a cool thing.
How many people would know that?
So. I don't know, but that's true. And you know how you find this stuff? You find it with the records. That's why it's so important for the county and cities to protect their records so people can know what went on in the past.
And the oral history.
That's right.
There are people every day who are leaving us that have a world of information.
Mm-hmm.
So one of your jobs is to make sure you're getting your team is getting the oral history too.
That's true.
Man, I've had there's not going to be a test on this, is it? Because I would.
Yeah, the quiz starts in about 15 minutes.
It's over for me, but. In your crystal ball, what do you've outlined some things. That's what you're going to be doing in the future. You're still a young guy.
I can't. You know, you don't supposed to just talk about a business you have, but Rosewood, that's a wedding venue.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
That's a cool thing.
It is.
I started build. I bought that property in 89. It was kind of, but it's on a hillside, and it's a really high hillside.
It's the highest
in that whole area.
Yeah.
That's why there's a cell tower right on the other other ridge. And I bought the land, had to do a lot of work on it, and I wanted to build a house that resembled the Hermitage because I thought the double porches were neat. So
I did that,
and I actually did 90% of the work myself, which is like crazy. Then I got another building that's cool. Randy Travis had his picture taken in front of a building in Flynn's Lick, which is about 5 miles away. So I got that building and put it in my little town. And
yeah, this is a town. The audience needs to understand.
You got little general stores and gas stations.
Got a church.
Got an awesome chapel with a balcony in it.
Yeah.
People get married in there all the time.
You'd have to see it to really believe it. I mean, it's beautiful.
Right now, my goal in the future is to build a bigger reception hall in the back where the overlook is and make it easier to – I'm getting older, so – I'm 66 now, so –
You're a young guy. You got – I hope you
– So I'm wanting to make life easier when I get older.
No question. So how do you – with all the publicity, it is your home and there is privacy. Do you How do you secure that? Do people value your
Yeah, I think they do.
Overall,
there's a lot of people driving around and they take pictures of the buildings and stuff.
Yeah, you're okay with that.
Yeah. But what's one thing weird, I'm going to say the word weird, was what is that that it's on the computer where they come looking for what is the name of that? It's not Donkey Kong. Pokemon. The Pokemon company put a Pokemon spot in my fountain in my backyard. So sometimes at 4 o'clock in the morning, these young people are in the back. You know, I guess they got to walk up with their phone and click on it. There's a Pokemon. But that's crazy.
It is. Man, we're going to do this again. I knew when I heard you were coming and the stories you've told and our relationship over the years, you are an interesting, talented character. And that's the kind of people we're looking for.
Thank you.
And I say that with love and respect. Man,
I just slid him $100.
Yeah. And this is the tapestry we're talking about, about the community. So.
But I see everything doing great in this county. It's wonderful. Putnam County is a great place to live.
It is. And tourism and it's great that people come in, enjoy our natural beauty and our historic beauty, and they stay in a hotel and eat and go home. We don't have to educate their kids.
That's true.
It's the purest form of economics.
I'm hoping to get more historical markers up to show people
that'd be great.
The history that we share.
Man, I hope so. I've got some thoughts on that, too. We've got to go. Is that right?
That's right.
All right. Thank you so much, Glenn. This is wonderful. We'll do this again. We'll figure it out. And thank you for what you do every day for our community and region. God bless you.
And thank you for inviting me in. It's good seeing you, George.
We'll do it again. Thank you. Bye-bye. George Hofford with Glenn Jones, taking a real stroll down memory lane with a lot of memories that most people don't know. So what a great show. Thank you. Okay.